It's time for us how to get into our next segment. And our next segment is about marriage. Remember, we are dealing with marriage. Family, parenting. Marriage was last week. And now we're dealing with parenting. And today we'll be dealing with difficulties of parenting. And our difficulties of parenting is going to be dealt with by our pastor who was helping us deal with it yesterday. That is Pastor Lizu Chinyama, who is joining us on the line to give us some perspective. Pastor Lizu Chinyama, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to be our pastor this afternoon. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good afternoon, my moderator.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor. Thank you very much for joining us. So we're talking about parenting today, and not just parenting, but the difficulties of parenting. And parenting comes with a lot, a fair share of obstacles, from tantrums and teen rebellion to external pressures that come and infiltrate our teachings and our children. And today we need you, Pastor, to help us understand and discuss how to navigate these challenges and build stronger family bonds in the process. And so the obvious question, I suppose, is what are these most common challenges parents face at different stages of a child's development?
Okay, thank you so much for that question. Now, I have written down a list of some challenges that are there. So let me begin by listing them. Point number one is achieving a work-life kind of balance. And number two, financial stress. And challenge number three.
Sorry, Pastor. Emotion. Are you talking about the difficulties of parenting? Work-life balance is one of the challenges, difficulties of parenting?
Yes, I am looking at the most common challenges parents face.
I hear you. Are you going to explain them how they are challenges? You're going to enumerate them and then explain them, right?
Yes, let me just enumerate them, then I add a word, a sentence.
Okay, all right, go ahead, my pastor.
So the first one, I say achieving a work-life kind of balance, number one. And the number two is a financial stress. And number three is emotional and psychological stress. And common challenge number four is unforeseen sickness. So beginning at the top, achieving the work-life kind of balance, how is it a common challenge to have today? You find that they are supposed to provide the necessities, the basic needs that the child wants, and now the child is too small. They are supposed to strike a balance between creating time to go for work and provide the finance needed to buy the food and the necessities, and also striking a balance on who will remain with the child. And maybe sometimes there is no money to give a helper, a nanny, to come and be able to take care of the child. So that's a common challenge that the parents face out there, you know. And then the other one, on financial stress, let's say you have a small child and they are of an age that they can go to school. My dear fellow parents there, they are in an age where they want to go to school, and the child will ask, "Your daddy, you know, mommy, when will I start going to school?" Because they are seeing their friends of their same age, 7 years, 6 years, even five in today's world, they are going to school. And so it will stress you out because you realize you don't have enough money to really pay for the child and for the child to begin school. What about emotional and psychological stress? This is in the children. At times, as parents, we may not know how to go about, you know, we don't know how to counsel our children, but we don't know how to counsel them, because in today's world, dear colleagues, dear parents, you know, you advise a child, you tell them, don't do this, don't do that. The child misinterprets, you know, that because of their emotional and psychological makeup. Just yesterday, I was seeing the news, right, somewhere here in Zambia, where one child committed suicide, and this child is only 11 years. They committed suicide because the father just barely counseled the boy to say, improve on your grades. Your grades are not good, and study hard and work hard. This is only grade four. This child realizes, oh, okay, so daddy's shouting at me. He doesn't like me. He hates me. the child undergoes some psychological stress for whatever reason, and privately he hangs himself and he succeeds. And the last one, unforeseen sickness. You know, sickness is something that cannot be planned. It's something that cannot be timed. It can strike at any time. And so when a child is sick, this is a challenge that affects most parents, because sometimes you will not leave the child in the care of anyone. You don't know if the child will receive great care. I think that's what I can pin down on that.
Okay. So how can parents maintain patience and composure during difficult moments of this?
Okay, another the tricky one again, difficult moments. Well, this one, whether you are a minister, whether you work for the parliament of whatever country, whether you are a Christian or not, difficult moments will come. Now, what should we do? The answer here, I think, can only be one: by being constantly connected to God. John chapter 15, reading in verse number 4, the Bible there reminds us, by giving us an example of a tree and the vine there and the branch. So the branch, as long as it remains connected to the main stem, the vine, it's going to be able in due time to produce green leaves, in due time to produce fruit. So at times we may not be fruitful, but we need to wait. A season will come, the rain will come, we will be nourished again, the leaf will come and the fruit will come. So difficult moments do not mean we are finished as parents, there's nothing we can do, and you know, our children should look down on us. No, let us be able to just look up and remain connected. Let's trust God's provisions, and let's trust God's process, and he will surely come through and give us some strength as parents.
Okay. And the strategies, perhaps? What strategies can help manage sibling conflict and rivalry? Because it tends to happen from time to time. Whether it's all your children or blended families, you do find children have conflicts, siblings have conflicts. So share with us some strategies that can help manage the sibling conflict and rivalry.
All right, conflicts, even among his siblings. Okay, and you know, sometimes we may live with our own children, which is nuclear type, or we may live as an extended family, but there will be parents there, guardians, and children who will all be clustered as siblings, whether from the same or with a step or with a biological. Now, the strategies that we can maintain to be able to curb the conflicts among them is, number one, by showing them equal love, whether they are our biological child or they are a stepchild. You know, whatever number of children we have, in whichever way they are geographically made and psychologically and intellectually, you know, capable, let us show them equal love. So show equal love, no favoritism, no showing the other child that they have a jumper of many colors and then the other colleagues have a jumper with only one color. No, if all of them have a coat of many colors, let them all have. If all of them have a coat with one color, let it be that. Because the issue of showing favoritism on one particular child or one daughter will eventually endanger that particular child. And when we are not there to defend that child, or suppose you die, you are not in the picture, that child remains an object of attack amongst the other siblings. So show them equal love. And then number two, teach them to love and respect each other, either in your presence or in your absence. So as a...
All right, I think I'll just drop there with the pastor. Are you still there?
We need to teach our children, number one, show them equal love, number two, teach them to love and respect each other in your absence or in your presence, and then number three, showing every child that they are important and appreciate each child does. This child, well, one child may be good at washing the vehicle. When they wash the car, it's going to sparkle inside and out, it will not have any stains, any lines. Then the other child comes or washes the same vehicle, it will have lines. Just appreciate them, because every child is important. What the other child is good at, the other child may not be good at, but each one of them is able to do something. And you, as the parent, you'll be able to appreciate them with, you know, in one way or another, with the good that they have done.
Right.
And so finally, just be able to approve them, show them the approval that, well, each one of you is strong, each one of you is a Tarzan, each one of you is a Queen Esther, and each one of you is intelligent. So don't show that this one has done well. You are very dull. You see, your friend in this particular grade was doing this manner. You, who did you resemble? And all that, then we'll be able to manage conflicts amongst the siblings.
And then how should parents respond to television, social media like TikTok and YouTube and Facebook, peer pressure, and all those societal expectations? How do parents respond to all of those influences?
Okay, great thought. In this world, in this era where we are going in, where technology has increased and the parents are busy because they need to manage their financial output, outflow, we are in an era where the learning sources have increased. Our children are learning from the TV, from the phone, from the laptop, and also from outside the community, either within or the community beyond. And so how can we be able to respond as parents? Number one, by communicating with them constantly. Don't talk to your child once in a week, once or maybe when they have done something wrong. Talk to them as often as possible, dear friends, dear parents. Sit them down carefully and realize you are going to tell that this child, I think, has started working in some way, has started dressing in some manner, either it's if it's a miniskirt, tight clothes, or soft, loose clothes. You'll be able to realize, and you ask yourself, where are they learning this? Could be from friends in the society, or from friends online, or friends, internet friends from far. And so sit them down and carefully show them the negative effect of what you are seeing as negative, because to them, they may not see it as negative. They may see it as fashion, So show them the negative effects, you know. And then number two, understand the nature of that peer pressure. What kind of peer pressure is it? Is it on a boy child? Is it on a girl child? Is it to do with academic performance? Is it fashion related? Is it appearance? You know, in today's world, the people who were formerly dark, now you can no longer recognize them because they are white, or they've become light skinned from nowhere. So understand the nature of that peer pressure, and then you'll be able to navigate and see how you talk to that young boy, young girl, teenager, or that little child. And then the other one is share personal stories. We've gone through stuff kids are going through. We've gone through and we've experienced. So we know what we encountered during our time. For example, my moderator, we know how to sneak out from home, go and drink a little, smoke a little. We know the risks that can come about that. So we share our personal stories, you know, with our children, and then we will inspire them and we encourage them. Let's not shout at them, because sometimes what they are doing, we probably did that also. Even if today we are pastors, today you are a Dorcas worker, today you are the church elder, but what the child is going through, you as a parent, you also went through, but you changed. So in the same way, share your personal story. And finally, celebrate their strength. You know, show them that you are the best child. You are the best son. You are the best daughter. And I want you to continue to improve in this manner, okay? And the child will say, oh, okay. So daddy is approving me. So I have no need for the phone, for the TV to approve me. So I don't need Google to approve me. If daddy and mommy says I have done well in this, then I'm okay. Then we will give our children the confidence they need.
Okay. All right. Finally, Pastor, how do parents recover then and rebuild trust after making mistakes with their children? And many parents do make mistakes and grow estranged to their or from their children. How do we fix that? How do we rebuild this after making mistakes with our children?
All right. And this question actually, I think, is double-sided after realizing, because the mistakes can be made either by parents or the children. So however, in answering it, that we can do this. We can, point number one is we should focus on repair and not blame. When a vehicle has gotten a fault and we call a mechanic, or if it's able to drive, to be taken, to be driven to the mechanic, when we get there, our solution is repair and not blaming whether we went into some pothole or we hit into some tree somewhere, you know. So show your child the right thing that should be done henceforth, because the future will always be better than the present or the past. The past is gone, never to return. And so no matter how long we dwell discussing about the past, no, we will not be able to achieve anything. But we can pick up the present and then propel ourselves into a perfect future. So focus on repairing the mistake and not blaming the child, or the child blaming the parents. Dear parents, also let us bury the past and be able to just go forward. We will never ever return to the past. And then point number two, we should seek for forgiveness and reconciliation. The reason why we are still all alive today is because of the act of forgiveness that germinates or mushrooms from God's everlasting throne. We were supposed to be destroyed right from Eden in the name of Adam and Eve, but God comes and says, okay, since you've done this, okay, I'll tell you the consequences, but I'll not kill you now. But the consequences that will follow are these: but I forgive you. You simply leave Garden of Eden and you live outside Eden, you know, so that you. Your reconciliation and choose the better path, both for the parent and for the child. And then lastly, maybe, you know, you talked about issues of trust. You know, when trust is broken, it takes time to build it again. Trust is like a building. It's not like a one thing and one object thing, but it's like a building. And a building takes long. There are blocks needed there. There's cement, there's quarry stones, and, you know, brick force wire. So we should be able, as a parent, either to the parents or to the children, how can we build this trust process again? Is number one, by keeping to our promises. Let us say one thing and do that very thing. Number two, by planning goals and objectives together. You know, we may be parents, but our children may have gotten some certain knowledge from somewhere, and maybe from some parent out there. And then they can come, let's share and hear their side. And then finally, in good and bad times, let us always be on each other's team. Let the child be on the team of the parent. Let the parent be on the team of the child. And by so doing, all mistakes will be forgotten. Trust will be rebuilt. There shall be joy. And joy again in the building. I think that's what I can add there.
Got it, Pastor. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We are doing this again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. That further, have a wonderful day and the week. See you tomorrow.
A wonderful day to you, and stay blessed.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. And that is Pastor Chinyamalizu, who is our guest pastor for this segment.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.